Dan McGuire, and I'm here with, I'm the outreach coordinator for the Wind Powering America program, National Renewable Energy Laboratory, and I'm also a consultant with the American Corn Growers Foundation and the Wind for Schools facilitator in Nebraska.
You're a busy guy.
Well, there's a lot going on in wind energy.
All right, well, wind energy certainly is a growing industry. Tell me how things stand now.
Well, it is a growing industry. It has and it has a tremendous potential for economic, rural economic development. That's one of the things. If you look, I like to always point to Iowa, even though I'm from Nebraska. Iowa has 20% of its electricity now being generated by wind energy. They have really gone great guns over there, and I tip my hat to them for doing so well. But they are an example of what we could do nationally. And if we were to do that nationally, 20% by 2030, is the target. The U.S. Department of Energy has a study that says if we can do that, we can create in the neighborhood of billions of dollars of investment, first of all, and that's jobs and rural economic development. I think it's in the neighborhood of annual impact of 300 and some million a year lease payments to landowners where they site those machines. So there's a lot been going on. And we've been moving. I'm the co-chair of the Nebraska Wind Working Group as well. And so we just had a conference, over 350 attendees. It's our fifth annual conference. And it's going good. Kansas is going big time. Other states are ahead of Nebraska. We're the only 100% public power state, so we have some challenges, limitations on what we can do there. But we're moving ahead. Got nearly 500 megawatts. Biggest challenge on the table right now is the federal wind energy production tax credit. That expires December 31st if it's not extended. Now, Wind Powering America doesn't get into that policy with Congress, but the American Wind Energy Association does, and so they're looking at the possibility with the elections behind us now, and the administration supports extension of it, and the Senate does, so they're optimistic from the American Wind Energy Association that it'll get extended.
So the House is the questionable factor?
I'm not sure where the House is on it, but you know, you have governors from Kansas, Oklahoma, Iowa, on the Republican side, you have Democrat governors, you have governors pushing for this extension big time. It's a big economic driver. It is there's 500 manufacturing facilities in 44 states in this country, and one of the great things about wind energy is it has been bringing manufacturing back into the U.S. In the previous years, we were importing most of the components into the U.S., but there's been manufacturing, and it's pushed by the wind production tax credit. And I got a question earlier, somebody said to me, yeah, but damn, when is wind energy going to get by without having that subsidy? I said, well, my attitude on that is when coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear get by without their subsidies that they've been getting for 90 years. So we have nothing against them getting subsidies. We just need equal treatment, more or less level playing field. And it is a big economic driver. It's rural economic development. It is putting money in not only to the land. People say, well, it's just for those landowners. No, it isn't. It's property tax revenue streams into your local county tax coffers, which helps all the schools, and it sells tax revenue into your state tax coffers, and it's hundreds of thousands of jobs. And so it's all these things in addition to energy security. And that wind energy is not the total answer, but as part of the portfolio mix, it's a very smart thing to do for rural America especially.
Well, certainly, and it goes hand-in-hand with agriculture.
Oh, big time. I used to get the question, as American Corn Growers Foundation, so people would say, "What? Why would you guys be interested in wind energy?" And my first response was, where do you suppose they're going to site those wind turbines? And our objective there was to get farmers a fair deal. And lease payments have gone up, and so if you have the machines on your land, there's a good income stream there. Plus, it's not a very big footprint. It does not take much space to put those on there. We'll farm right around it. And even in an irrigation like Nebraska, center pivot irrigation, they can be put out in areas where it's not going to interfere with the center pivots and so on. So it's a big opportunity.
Without that continuing incentive, would it cripple the growth, or would it just slow it down?
It cripples it. It does. It already has. There's been lots of layoffs, and I know certain plants in Colorado and all over the country have laid people off because of the lack of certainty. What it needs is a certainty in terms of policy. So if the Congress and the administration, if the Congress will take action and get it taken care of, and I know that the administration will move it forward, and then the industry, it impacts everybody from architects and engineers to lawyers and real estate companies, landowners, utilities, the big equity investors that come. They need that certainty to be able to invest, because it's a 20-year commitment, typically, for one of these projects. Typically, they have a 20-year power purchase agreement to sell the power. So the investors aren't going to invest without that certainty. So I like to think of wind energy as an economic superstar with all kinds of potential.
Where are the biggest areas of potential growth?
Well, if you look at the wind resource map, I like to refer to it as the Saudi Arabia of wind in the U.S., and it's from Texas to Canada, straight up through that corridor of all those states and over into Iowa and over into, you know, in Montana and up in those areas too. But Illinois and other states, they have a tremendous wind resource, and now you have also offshore on the coast, East Coast. A couple of years ago, I went up to Maine and talked to their legislature and gave them a copy of the Nebraska bill that we introduced to support wind energy, and they got something going up there, so there's projects developing. There's wind resources all over the country, and where there isn't wind resources, the big national wind conference this past June was in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, there's not a good wind resource down there. What is there down there? Manufacturing. And so a lot of the manufacturing facilities are in that area, manufacturing components. So you don't have to have a wind resource to really benefit from the wind energy industry in the U.S.
And not to be flippant, but wind energy is drought tolerant.
It is. And speaking of the drought, being from Nebraska, we really are being hit with that drought. I mean, we really have been. One thing about wind energy, it doesn't need any water either for cooling, like thermal power plants, big coal and other, and nuclear and all of them. Nothing against those, except they do use a heck of a lot of water. Wind energy does not need any water for cooling and that sort of thing. So it can, if you were to get the 20% wind scenario by 2030, and that was incidentally developed in the Bush administration, that's when that program was established, or that target was set. If you were to do that, it would save trillions of gallons of water. Now, in the eastern U.S., that's not a big deal, and that's not a concern. In the west and the southwest, it is a very big deal. You start out in Nebraska and go west and south, water is a big issue for the future, and wind energy helps.
You may have mentioned this earlier, but what percentage are we at now with wind energy nationwide?
And it varies, of course, all over the place by state. But and I'm drawing a blank here in my mind as to what percent we're getting. But it's a few percent. It's not more than that. So it's in the neighborhood of that. It's not, you know, it's if we could all be like Iowa, we'd be doing great at 20%. Nebraska, we're our target. Our voluntary target is. And we're, again, public power state, 10%, and they're on track to do that. But some states, like Colorado and Iowa, they have a renewable portfolio standard that sets it's in their law that they're going to go get this much done by a certain date. And that drives it.
Will we see a national standard?
I don't think we will. I don't think so. There's a number of states. They would have to have the flexibility in certain regions where they don't have wind resource, or if they don't have biomass that they could convert to, you know, cellulosic biomass. Although, even in states like Georgia and getting in those areas that have a lot of forest products and a lot of the cellulosic potential is there to generate renewable energy. But in terms of a national wind portfolio, I'm not seeing that as a likely.
We're looking at state by state.
I think so. I think so. It would. Unless they had some flexible way of doing it so that certain states wouldn't have too much of a challenge for attempting to maybe trading certain things between states or something. I don't know.
Yep. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, the other thing I would say Wind Powering America is the really the National Wind Technology Center in Golden, Colorado. It's kind of the go-to place for a lot of wind resource information as well as testing. They do a lot of the testing of the new machines and blades and so forth out there. So a tip of the hat to them, but also their Wind for Schools program. The Wind for Schools program is all about young folks, K-12 schools, and in Nebraska we lead the country right now with 24 K-12 schools that are partners with the U.S. Department of Energy, Wind Powering America, and the University of Nebraska Wind Application Center. You start at the K-12 level, they have a small wind turbine up at their school. It's a SkyStream 3.7 is typically what's there. Doesn't generate a tremendous amount of electricity. It does generate some, but it's about curriculum, career development, and then those students are thinking out into the future, and when they're looking at going to community college, they might think about Northeast Community College in Nebraska, where we now have a wind technician training program, or the University of Nebraska Wind Application Center, where they can become a new electrical engineer maybe and create the latest technology of the newest, greatest wind turbine.
It generates excitement.
It does. Wind for Schools is very, it does generate excitement as well as other kinds of energy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Julie.